It is so great to be here tonight with Uncle Marvin, Aunt Norma, and all the other members of the family we see here tonight, Brenda, and Linda, and Rena Kay, and Havis, and just everybody. So good to be here tonight. So many memories have been crowding our mind. I saw Brother Charles Yeager back there. Thought about that first revival and him leading the singing. And that first revival was, that was in 1957 in June. How many years ago would that be? 28 years. 28 years ago. A lot of things have happened since then. We've enjoyed being with you folks so many times, and it's always a pleasure to come to Pine Bluff and preach. Brother and Sister Shields, good to see you folks again. I remember how kind you were to my wife and my mother-in-law before we were married 25 years ago. My wife and her mother went to Hot Springs for a few days, and they had a car wreck. And my wife was injured, and the Shields were so very nice to help them through that situation. So it's good to be with the Shields tonight, good to be with the Rutledges, and good to be with all of you all. Do you feel good in the Lord?
Amen.
We have really enjoyed the singing tonight and this worship, and let's just yield to the Lord and see what He has for us right now from His Word. I tell you what I feel like preaching tonight. I don't know. This is, I guess, going to be kind of a Bible study and a sermon. But I feel like talking to you about tongues. Speaking in tongues. And I'd like to read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And verses 21 and the first part of 22. So if you would like to follow along with us there, 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. And Brother Rutledge, thank you once again for the invitation to come and be with your fine people and share the word with them. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Let's pray once again. Lord, have your way in the word right now. We are reaching out to you, Lord. We're trusting in you. We want your divine will. We believe that you have a divine plan for the service tonight. Accomplish that right now. And Lord, we need you so desperately. Bless this great church. Bless this fine pastor and his wife and family that you have given to this church. Their future, God. Continue to give them many souls and a new facility as they dream. Bless Brother and Sister Shields tonight and bless us all as we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want us to worship the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Have your way tonight. Have your way tonight. Talk to us, God. Talk to us, God. We're looking to you. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
I believe that there is ample scriptural support for our strong belief in speaking in other tongues. In fact, there are 19 references to tongues in the New Testament. But I want to approach it from a little different direction tonight and try to help us, or at least if we all are enjoying this great experience, we'll just be reminded of how beautiful an experience God has given all of us. But I want to approach this not so much from a scriptural standpoint, though, as I mentioned, there is ample support for that approach. But I want to talk to you about the logical and the practical aspect of speaking in other tongues. First of all, notice that it says, with men of other tongues and other lips. This is a prophecy, you recall, from Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And then Paul adds, tongues are for a sign. They are for a sign. The dictionary says that a sign is something material or external that stands for or signifies something spiritual. Now that's in reference to spiritual things. Of course, the word sign can mean other things. Let me read that again. Something material or external that stands for or signifies something spiritual. If tongues are for a sign, if God has given tongues for a sign to the world, what's the message that He wishes to convey? I think, Brother Rutledge, it's more than just saying there are 19 references to tongues that we can read about in the New Testament. I really believe that God is saying, I am giving you a message. Because the sign of tongues is to tell you more than what you just hear. It's a sign of something. Language is an interesting thing. Amen. Why God chose tongues as the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost has at times puzzled us all. Some people have some very strange ideas about tongues and about God and even why we should not speak in tongues. And what happens when we do? For example, what language did God speak when He said, let us make man? So often people say, who was He talking to? The plural pronoun us implies quite an interesting subject. But what language was God speaking? Now, we understand that Genesis was written by Moses. Moses probably wrote in the Hebrew language, and from the record, it's obvious that he did. But what language did God use? The Hebrew language was not created or invented as yet. When God created the animals, and it says that He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. What language was God speaking?
I give up. You tell me.
He was able to communicate with creation.
That's right.
He being the only one who could, because He made the animals. He made the world. And God can communicate with anything that He makes. Why then is it so unusual that God would communicate with His people in a language that we cannot understand? I have heard people speak in tongues, not in the spirit, but just some foreign language. And I have wondered what is going on. Speaking in another language that is not familiar to the hearer can create all kinds of feelings and thoughts and ideas. I have been in public places and I have heard foreigners talking. And I have really, really wondered if maybe they weren't just making that up. Because I don't know how anybody can understand all of that business. Now, English is easy. It's easy to understand. But when somebody starts speaking all that mess and just going 100 miles an hour, and have you noticed that a lot of languages are fast? I've noticed Spanish. Spanish seems a lot faster than English. I don't know how they can speak it that fast and understand it that fast. And I have really wondered at times, are they making that up? When I was a kid, teenager, sometimes we'd get on an elevator, my friend and I, and we'd go, Kieta ka ise kabata. And our buddy would go, Komboy in kita. And we'd go, say, somebody get in, huh? And people would look at us. Well, see, I have wondered, I guess because we used to do that, maybe other people do that. Maybe everybody's doing that. Brother Shields, maybe there aren't that many languages in the world. Just maybe there are a lot of pretenders. And when they get back home, they talk just like you and I do. Now, you're laughing, but you can't prove otherwise. Now, you see how ridiculous it is for people to say, those Pentecostals are not speaking anything? Just because they don't talk that at home. Just because they don't understand what's being said. Just because they don't understand what is happening. They have a tendency to disbelieve it and to discredit it. But the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When somebody says, why do you talk in tongues? Just say, I don't know, except I'm talking to God. Isn't that good enough reason? That's what 1 Corinthians 14:2 says. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, we can see speaking in tongues. It's there in the Bible, but what's the purpose of it? Why talk in tongues? If for no other reason, I think that's good enough. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And you can't be talking to God. Hallelujah. Now, I have watched these foreigners talk and studied them as you have done in various places where you've heard them speak. And as I said, that thought would cross my mind. But then I would see them turn to a little 2-year-old child and say, and that little darling would say, and they'd come right along with them. Understood exactly. And I've thought, if those adults are involved in some duplicity to fool everybody, they couldn't get that little child to go along with them. And it looks like people would look around and see these small children being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, and realize that if we all are a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of Pharisees and deceivers, and we get in seminars and work up all these languages, Brother Shields, and try to act like we're talking in tongues, they ought to realize that we can't get the little kids to go along with it. Because when they lift those little hands and tears run down their cheeks and they speak a language that nobody understands, you can know that it's God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Speaking in tongues then says a lot to the world. The Lord said it would be for a sign. Let's see what God might be trying to say. First of all, when you hear someone speak a foreign language, if you study what's happening at all, you begin to think about a lot of other things. For instance, every language has a country behind it. You start saying, I wonder, is that Japanese? When I hear people talk, I really try to figure it out. I say, I hear a French word once in a while in there. I heard a Spanish word. I hear a little Italian. Now, I don't know those languages, but we all know C. And in German, I mean, German, okay, ja, for yes. And in French, oui, for yes. And, you know, there are a few little words that once in a while you can pick up, and then they'll say other things that it just sounds like certain languages. What are we doing? We realize that when a foreigner standing on an elevator speaks a language that we cannot understand, that it's not that they are disconnected from the total world, but though they might be alone, there is a country behind them somewhere. They belong somewhere. If you see one, there's a bunch more of them somewhere, because I have never seen just one person in the world that talked one language. You might only see one, but there's always a bunch of them behind them. Hallelujah. Now that's what's wrong with y'all. Y'all are already ahead of me. Well, that's all right. That's okay. Hallelujah. When somebody speaks a language, a heavenly language, you can say, wait just a minute. That cannot be one isolated individual with no attachment to any other place or people. But you can say, first of all, there's a country behind that language. That language belongs to a country somewhere. And I may be only seeing a little handful of those Pentecostals, but let me tell you, world, that does not mean that's all of them. But they are a part of a vast, innumerable host of people. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's why we should never feel alone. Because when we speak a heavenly language, it means that we're a foreigner. We're standing in this world, but we are citizens of another world. There is another country that is behind us. And heaven is no exception to this. The Bible says the sound on the day of Pentecost came from heaven. There's the country that was behind the language. You see, so when someone speaks German, you see castles on the Rhine, the Black Forest, the Bavarian Alps. And when someone speaks a heavenly language, the country that you see behind them is heaven, where there's a throne, a river of life, mansions, golden streets, walls of jasper, and an almighty God, Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, let me go on here. When you see somebody speak a foreign language, not only is there a country behind every language, and if there isn't at that particular time, there used to be, because some languages are almost extinct. Maybe their country has faded, but there has been a country at one time or other. Not only that, but behind every language, there is a government.
Amen.
A government. Each country has a ruler. For instance, when someone speaks Russian, you see Premier Andropov. You see the Kremlin, the Red Square, the Volga. Wherever it is, whatever country it is, whatever language there is behind that language, not only a country, but there is a ruler. And behind speaking in tongues, not just a bunch of gibberish, my friend, but there is Jesus Christ
the ruler. Hallelujah. We are worshiping Him. We are talking to Him. We are servants of His. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Behind every language, there is address, a manner of apparel. Every country has a particular dress that is characteristic of that country. Now let me mention a few. When someone says Scotland, what do you think of? The kilts. Bagpipes. Kilts. Alaska. Parkas. Africa. Loincloths. Saudi Arabia. Turbans. On and on and on. Each country has its distinctive dress that is characteristic of that particular country. You see, we Pentecostals are from another world. We're from another country. And why should people think it's so strange that since we are from another country and we speak another language and we have another ruler? Why shouldn't our dress, Brother Rutledge, be just a little bit different? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't see any of these people on their particular day that they're celebrating over here in our great United States ashamed of the dress of their mother country. If it's Italian Day, if it's German Day, if it's St. Patrick's Day, whatever it is, they are happy to wear the green. They're happy to put on funny little hats. At General Conference, the missionaries put on the dress of their country, and they act so happy to do that. They're representing their country where they're doing missions work. And why should not we be happy to have the dress of another country? But it's not just a dress code that I'm mentioning tonight. But when I hear speaking in heavenly tongues, I can see fine linen, clean and white. I can see crowns. I can see people saying, Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, if we could only realize how much that we are not of this world. Our automobiles may have been made in this world. We may wear clothes made in this world. We may eat this world's food. We may speak this world's natural language. We may live in the United States of America, and it's a great country. And I believe in saluting the flag, and I believe in being patriotic. But oh, we are members of another country. And we have our own language. Praise God, praise God. Well, let's go a little further. Every language has behind it various foods that are characteristic of that particular country. Brother Shields says he likes that Mexican stuff. And don't we all? Aunt Norma today said, do you like Chinese food? I like Chinese food. I like Italian food. You see, there are various dishes that we remember that are characteristic of various countries. And if you're not from that particular country, and especially if you're not used to that food, you might think that that's a very, very, very strange thing to eat. I married a lady that 25 years ago tonight that is half Syrian, Arabic. And she has taught me to eat all kinds of foods. We eat Mishawana Anab. We eat Mishamafuf. We eat just all kinds of things. Kibbe. And I have learned to love these foods. When I first got into that family, I thought, what in the world? They'd take grape leaves soaked in brine, mix mutton or hamburger meat and rice together, roll it up in that grape leaf, and then put it down in lemon juice and cook it for several hours. And you talk about delicious. It is delicious. But I didn't like it the first time I ate it. I had to learn to like it. They take then mutton or hamburger meat and ground wheat. And they put pinon nuts in the side, in the very middle, and wrap that meat and that wheat around that in a ball. And these are kibbe balls. And they cook that in the oven with a lot of butter on it. And it is super. It is delicious. They take cabbage leaves and do the same thing with the meat and the rice. This is a little more common. Many of you all have eaten cabbage rolls. And they put that in there and roll that up and they cook that. But there are various dishes that are different that when I first got into the family, I thought it was mighty strange. But now I crave those things once in a while. They are delicious. Let me tell you tonight kindly. If you are here and talking in tongues is strange, just remember behind every language, there is a particular food that if you're not used to that, the food may look as strange as the language sounds. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I am so thankful that we have meat to eat that the world knows not of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have some dishes that we eat around here and we enjoy. And the world, if they could know what's here, they would forsake McDonald's. They would forsake Wendy's. They would forsake sin. And they would come. And they would enjoy these glorious, heavenly, simmering casseroles that we're enjoying even tonight. But listen at this. There's even more. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto thee, and let's all say it together, marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. One of these days, the people with a strange language are going to get to go eat that food, that meal, that right now to the world may sound so strange. But oh, what a heavenly meal that you and I are going to get to enjoy one of these days. You see what I'm trying to preach, a little simple message tonight? Not using all the 19 references in the New Testament to tongues, but this can be approached logically. It can be approached practically. That God, who is more sensible than all of us, and logical than all of us, He says, come, let us reason together.
Hallelujah.
He says, I have given tongues to you for a sign. You are to try to figure out what message that I am giving you. I am trying to tell you many things, and by no means is this all that God's trying to tell us tonight. But I believe He is trying to let us know that behind every language, there are a lot of messages.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That He is trying to get across to all of us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands right now and let's thank the Lord. God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for that communication. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I understand that, not counting all the dialects, they claim there are close to 3,000 languages in the world. James tells us that the tongue is the most unruly member. Why did God choose tongues as the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I believe for one reason, that as we yield our bodies to God, it is the tongue, the most unruly member, the hardest to tame, James tells us, that will be the last outpost of resistance. So when you see somebody yield and start speaking in tongues, that means everything else has yielded first, because the tongue, the most unruly member, will be the last member to yield. So if it's the most unruly member, when it starts yielding, you can say, that old boy has yielded to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe that's why God said, and they shall speak with other tongues. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I believe in tongues tonight. I believe that it is still an experience that is viable. It's available. It is real. It has not ceased. It is still for us tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There are animals in the world that learn to respond to different behavioral patterns. When we were at conference this year, we wandered across town to a place where they showed you how that dogs are trained for the movies. They can't be off camera and say to the dog, "Lie down." You know, then you'd hear a voice say, "Lie down." If they want the dog to lie down, they teach that dog first, "Lie down," and they'll make a certain motion. Then later on, they drop their voice and they go, and they do certain motions, and that dog learns to respond simply by silent hand motions. There are many animals who learn many tricks, but there are some animals that who are more adept at learning tricks because genetically they are endowed with an ability, because their mama, their daddy, their grandpa, their grandma had that ability, in other words. Now, to put this more simply, you can't make a coon dog out of just any old dog you find. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, who said amen down here? Sister Shields? Why, isn't this off your subject a little bit? All right. She knows more about dogs than we think she does.
That's right.
All right. You can't take just any old dog and make a bird dog out of them, can you? The only way you can make a coon dog is if his daddy was a coon dog.
Lord.
Is that right? Now, this is going to get real deep. If you want to train a dog to retrieve your birds, you better find one that his daddy did that, or his mama. Somebody in the family had to have that ability. Or you're wasting your time. In fact, you don't really train them to do those things. You develop that.
That's good.
Now, what amazes me, it had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I want to look into that. Who started that first dog, that first daddy dog, to hunt coons? Maybe God started all of this. The Coon Hunters Association would like to hear this. Now, why does a dog bark? That dog barks because his daddy barks. Now, you follow me. This is going to be deep theology here. That dog barks because his daddy barks. If your daddy was a dog, you would bark and chase cars. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, Brother Shields, that dog, when he barks, he speaks the language of his father. Now you know what I'm going to preach, don't you? All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. People say, why do those folks talk in tongues? The Bible says that we are partakers of His divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. Partakers of His divine nature. Spiritually, genetically, we are speakers in tongues because our Father is Almighty God. We speak the language of our Father. That's why when you are born again, you have to speak in tongues. You are not born again unless you speak in tongues. Hallelujah. You will speak the language of your Father. So when someone says, why are you talking in tongues? Say, ask Daddy. Don't ask your dog why he barks. Ask his daddy. And then if he can't tell you, you ask his daddy. And you trace that thing down. And it'll go all the way back somewhere to where I suppose God ordained this.
Right.
And when you see somebody talking in tongues, Brother Rutledge, they come to one of your saints. Why do you talk in tongues? You go ask my pastor. They go to Brother Rutledge. Why do you talk in tongues? You ask my presbyter. Oh, he wouldn't tell you that. You ask my superintendent. You ask the general superintendent. Somewhere we got to get back to where all of this started. And when you trace it all back, you go back to the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the what?
Spirit.
As the Spirit gave them utterance. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's why when somebody says, why are you talking in tongues? You just say, I am speaking the language of my Father. I am a son of God, and I am speaking that heavenly language. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Someone come to the organ and the piano. I'm just about through, and I want us to stand up in just a few moments, and I want us to rejoice, because tonight we are enjoying the heavenly language. We are enjoying what God said should be. That's why that just because we don't understand what's being said, and just because we don't understand why, let us not try to refute what is happening. We see a lot of things in our world that we do not understand. A lot of things. I have never seen my heart. I have never seen my brain. Never seen my lungs. There is so much about life that you and I do not understand. But unequivocally, we accept these things. Why cannot we, with the Word, 19 references to tongues in the New Testament? And if tongues have ceased, then vanish. Then knowledge has vanished away. Paul said that we do everything in part. Everything is partial. Our knowledge is partial. Our prophecy is partial. Our tongues are partial. Everything we do, it's partial, because we see through a glass darkly. But one day that obstruction will be removed, and we will see Him face to face. And it will not be partial. It will be complete. I don't know what language we're going to speak in heaven. Right now, God uses our vocal cords. He even uses syllables and consonants or letters. He uses sounds. They're different, but he puts them together some way miraculously, and he talks through us a heavenly language that we do not understand. But when we get to heaven, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how we're going to communicate, but right now it's partial. Right now it's in pieces and fragments. But it'll all go together when we get over there. Let's stand and thank the Lord. Let's communicate with Him. Let's worship Hallelujah. Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
For He is Lord.
God for the word of the Lord tonight. I feel God's presence right now sanctioning the message that we've heard tonight. It's just absolutely true. We're just pilgrims and strangers. We're citizens of another country. We don't really belong to this old world. Oh, hallelujah. For He is Lord. Gather around the altar, standing, please. Let's all come up front. Thank God. Everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.